still, I have no choice but to climb. I pull myself back up, set my hands on the rails, and scale the steps. The sweat bleeds from my palms so that the metal beneath them is slippery, slick. I can't hold tight. I slip from the second step. Try again. I call out, voice cracking, a voice that doesn't sound like mine. As I reach the roof's ledge, my knees give. It takes everything I have not to topple over the edge of the building and onto the street below. 17 floors. I'm so high I could touch the clouds, I think. The sense of vertigo is overpowering. The ground whooshes up and at me. The skyscrapers, the trees starting to sway until I no longer know what's moving. Them or me. Little yellow matchbooks soar up and down the city streets. Cabs. If I was standing at street level, the ledge would feel plenty wide. But up here, it's not. Up here, it's a thread, and on it, I'm trying to balance my two wobbly feet. I'm scared. But I've come this far. I can't go back. There's a moment of calm that comes and goes so quickly, I almost don't notice it. For one split second, the world is still. I'm at peace. The sun moves higher and higher into the sky, yellow-orange glaring at me through the buildings, making me peaceful and warm. My hands rise beside me as a bird goes soaring by. As if my hands are wings, I think in that moment what it would be like to fly. And then it comes rushing back to me. I'm hopelessly alone. Everything hurts. I can no longer think straight. I can no longer see straight. I can no longer speak. I don't know who I am anymore, if I am anyone. And I know in that moment for certain, I am no one. I think what it would feel like to fall, the weightlessness of the plunge, of gravity taking over, of relinquishing control, giving up, surrendering to the universe. There's a flicker of movement beneath me, a flash of brown, and I know that if I wait any longer, it will be too late. The decision will no longer be mine. I cry out one more time, and then I go. Jesse. I don't have to see myself to know what I look like. My eyes are fat and bloated. So bloodshot, the sclera is bereft of white. The skin around them is red and raw from rubbing. They've been like this for days. Ever since Mom's body began shutting down, her hands and feet cold, blood no longer circulating there. Since she began to drift in and out of consciousness, refusing to eat. Since she became delirious, speaking of things that aren't real. Over the last few days, her breathing has changed too, becoming noisier and unstable, developing what the doctor called chain-Stokes respiration, where for many seconds at a time, she didn't breathe. Short, shallow breaths, followed by no breaths at all. When she didn't breathe, I didn't breathe. Her nails are blue now, the skin of her arms and legs blotchy and gray. It's a sign of imminent death, the doctor said only yesterday, as he set a firm hand on my shoulder and asked if there was someone they could call, someone who could come sit with me until she passed. It won't be long now, he'd said. I had shaken my head, refusing to cry. It wasn't like me to cry. I've sat in the same armchair for nearly a week now, in the same rumpled clothes, leaving only to collect coffee from the hospital cafeteria. There's no one, I said to the doctor. It's only Mom and me. Only Mom and me, as it's always been. If I have a father somewhere out there in the world, I don't know a thing about him. Mom didn't want me to know anything about him. And now this evening, Mom's doctor stands before me again, taking in my bloated eyes, staring at me in concern, this time offering up a pill. He tells me to take it, to go lie down in the empty bed beside Mom's and sleep. When's the last time you've slept, Jesse? He asks, standing there in his starch white smock, tacking on, really slept, before I can lie. Before I can claim that I slept last night, because I did, for a whole 30 minutes at best. He tells me the longest anyone has gone without sleep,